We are back. Bob Pompeiani without Joe Starkey today. He's on a well-deserved vacation. Austin City Limits is back there behind the glass at 412-928-9370. We shift into the Steelers, and here we are. Taking a look at their roster. It all begins tomorrow when they show up. Mike Tomlin didn't want any distractions. Whenever you have Aaron Rodgers on your team, I think there is potentially a cause for that, or Jalen Ramsey for that matter. But this is a whole new roster, man. They've changed it quite a bit. Love to hear your thoughts on it at 412-928-9370. So ESPN, Austin, put out who they think are their top rosters, and they ranked them all. The Steelers ended up 19th on that list as far as rosters are concerned. Do you agree with where they're placed?
I don't, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, where some teams that are ahead of them include the Bears, the Cowboys. Like, what?
Well, the Bears are one of those teams that they're just right now fashionably
right.
The team to pick because of all the additions they've made, young players, and they believe that Caleb Williams is going to be that guy.
Chargers are also up there as well in a similar spot as the Steelers. I think they have a better roster than the Bears. I think they have a better roster than Dallas for sure. But the more and more I thought about it, they're probably right around middle of the pack, like right at 15, 16, Bob, where I thought their roster was a little bit better than that. But
well, from an experience point of view, they are. They're the second to the last oldest team. There's only one team, Washington, believe it or not, has an older roster, even though they have a young quarterback who's been very good. But they have an older roster, at least by age. And the Steelers are right there. But they have a lot of experience, too. So let's break this down as we look at each of these positions because I still believe there are needs here. And we'll start with wide receiver. They obviously made a big move with DK Metcalf. They got rid of George Pickens. They brought in Robert Woods, you know, one of those guys who, to me, is not going to move the meter all that much. Scotty Miller, same thing. Ben Skoranek, same thing. I mean, those are good guys to have on special teams. But it appears to me that Metcalf and Austin, along with the hopes that Roman Wilson will be enough to make things happen in the wide receiving. Now, that's not to discard any of these other guys. They could step up and play well like Robert Woods, but I still think there's a need for another wide receiver there.
There's no doubt. And I think their wide receiver room is better, partly because Metcalf is a better receiver than Pickens. He's a more well-rounded receiver than Pickens. You also eliminate the headache. But outside of that, you didn't really improve it much. Robert Woods, his career's better than Van Jefferson. They played together at one point with the Rams. But is Robert Woods at this point in his career better than Van Jefferson was just a season ago? That still remains to be seen. So they're just, again, very short amount of better. But they are, and I feel that way about a lot of position groups.
All right, let's talk about Roman Wilson specifically because I think the coaching staff over there now believes that they, with Roman Wilson, have a guy who's capable of coming in and making an immediate impact, even though he didn't last year as a third-round pick. You know that Calvin Austin's on a better track. He's going to be a very important part of this offense. But can you expect Roman Wilson, if DK Metcalf is completely covered? Now, this is where tight ends will come into play. We'll talk about that in a second. What do you expect out of Roman Wilson in his first full year, if he stays healthy?
I expect him to factor into the offense, but unless he has a couple of really good breakout games in the first couple of games of the season, might get lost in the shuffle, Bob, and that's because they have two tight ends. And Calvin Austin and DK Metcalf will probably end up factoring in a lot of two tight ends and a lot of two wide receiver looks with a running back. It wouldn't surprise me if they run some two running back roles, too, with Warren and Caleb Johnson, if both can end up flourishing.
They could.
Do you think that Roman Wilson, I think he still has some talent, and I think he could become a good blocker for them too, and just a good physical receiver. But do you think that they trust him at this point to be able to call him like a wide receiver three?
Well, he's had a very good minicamp by all accounts, and you know, if that's the case, they believe in what they've done, which is take him in the third round. If you watched him at Michigan when he was there, he was a good blocker. He was a guy who would do it ever necessary. He was also McCarthy's number one target.
And he had 10 touchdowns that final year.
He was very good in that role, and I think they think they can get a little bit of that going with him. And if so, it may mean that you don't have to go out and sign someone. There's not all that much left. The same old usual suspects we've been talking about. That does not mean, however, that if you go through training camp and they find that Roman Wilson's not living up to this, that they can make a move and bring somebody in. It may be somebody who's cut from another team. We've seen that happen before. I still think that's one player short of being a complete group. Now, when you mentioned tight ends, Jonnu Smith could be that de facto number two receiver, you know, or number three receiver, however you want to do it. He's shown with 88 catches that he has wide receiver numbers. He also has breakaway potential speed and 8 touchdowns. Now, he's older, and that was really his only season where he put up these kinds of numbers. How do you think they utilize him? More in a, you know, kind of a hybrid tight end slash receiver role, because he can line up and do some things in different spots.
Probably. I would imagine that he and Freiermuth are going to be on the field a lot, and one's going to end up playing in the slot. And Jonnu Smith is going to end up playing probably similar to a wide receiver role at times. Like, Freiermuth, I think, is a better blocker than Smith is. So I'd imagine that they would keep Freiermuth in closer to the line and spread out Jonnu Smith, where he also has some pretty decent speed to him. He can be their wide receiver too, but he's not a wide receiver too, if that makes sense. Like, would you rather trade for somebody, Bob, like if Juwan Jennings did come available because he wants a new contract, or would you rather sign a Gabe Davis hoping he can come back to his form that he was with?
I would probably go with Gabe Davis. They brought him in only because I think whenever you have a guy who wants a new contract, and Jennings only had really one good season that I saw in San Francisco. He was also helped by the fact they had some pretty good talent out there at that same position, which opened up things for him, and he took advantage. But if anybody wants a new contract, I don't know if I'm going to go in that direction. I do think that Darnell Washington should have a bigger role. And when I say that, I'm specifically talking about red zone. When you have guys who are that big and you get them down there close to the goal line, jump balls are always advantageous, I think. They did it a lot with wide receivers. Why not a guy like him?
Yeah, they tried it once, and it was when Mr. Unlimited rolled out to the right and basically threw the ball so high it would hit, like, the top of the UPMC building.
So you're saying Mr. Unlimited was limited in that specific play?
Just a little bit. Darnell Washington, like, you could barely miss him if you tried, and he did by a mile. So I would like to see Rodgers try to utilize him like Mercedes Lewis, like he compared him to, and utilize him in the red zone. Like, that would be ideal. This also doesn't bode well for Connor Hayward. Like, what is Connor Hayward's
role? It's a numbers game now for him.
It is. And unless Cordero gets cut, but he doesn't play a similar role as Cordero, the roster spots are thin.
All right, speaking of Cordero Patterson, now we'll go down to the running backs, because they're typically not going to keep more than three of these guys around. It depends on how the other parts of this roster go. But Jaylen Warren will come in as a starter. Mike Tomlin likes to defer to veterans. I think he's earned that opportunity. However, I still think they're better off with a split shared workforce there with Caleb Johnson and Jaylen Warren. I think them together can continue what happened last year with Harris and Warren. Kenneth Gainwell is a guy that tortured the Steelers last year. I think he had like all-purpose yards of 156 in that game. He can do a lot of different things. He's sneaky, he's small, and he could come out of the backfield and make catches. So I think those three guys are definite on the team. If they go beyond that, it's Trey Sermon or Cordero Patterson. You think Patterson is going to make the roster again? Because I thought after last year, he wouldn't even be around at this point.
So if Cordero stays, like, are they legitimately, Bob, going to cut a lineman just to keep Cordero on the team? Or like a special teams player. If it's James Pierre, I'm fine with it. I feel like James Pierre has been around for a decade now, and he ends up having to play a couple of games on defense and ends up getting burned like toast at least once or twice. Good special teams player, but is Cordero going to take a roster spot away from somebody like an extra lineman that they might need for added security if Broderick Jones is not good or if Mason McCormick struggles? So I don't think Cordero is going to end up on the team. But why not cut him now? Like, why not already have his money off the books? And sure, they have a lot of cap space. They don't need the money right now. But do you need Cordero on the team when all he does is return kicks?
Patterson would have been good in his you know, 3-4 years from now ago when he was still very good at doing that. I don't think he's as good as that. You mentioned the offensive line, so let's tackle that before we go to the phone lines. 412-928-9370. I know a lot of you have thoughts about the Steelers roster at this point. But you know the starters. You got Broderick Jones at the left tackle. You're going to have Isaac Seumalo aside from him. Then you have Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick, which two guys who were draft picks last year, that bodes well for them. And then Troy Fautano. They spent a lot of time and money on first-round picks, second-round picks to get this offensive line where it is. While we've talked about Broderick Jones being the key, and he is the key, I look at their backups and I have concerns, because anytime you're in a season this long, you're going to have injuries. They often do. In fact, Zach Frazier got his job because Nate Herbig got hurt last year. And he wasn't able to go, so he got in there and did a good job. Mason McCormick, same thing. James Daniel got hurt. Mason McCormick comes in. But behind these guys, you have Dylan Cook as the backup left tackle. He's been around forever, and I don't know that I would expect. Behind him, somebody named Gareth Warren, who is...
Who?
Gareth Warren.
Is he related to Jaylen Warren?
No, I don't think so anyway. But he's an undrafted free agent this year. Spencer Anderson was in and out of that lineup at times. You know, I've been lukewarm on him.
Yeah, he's fine.
Ryan McCollum, we've seen him, but I don't. Again, there's not enough time to analyze him. They brought in Max Sharping. He's going to be the backup at right guard.
Good for him.
Do you know anything about Max
no,
Sharping?
No, I know nothing about him.
He played from Washington. He's been around. He's been with several teams.
I would like to see them, Bob, get like a Chris Hubbard type or a B.J. Finney type. Somebody that's been around for a little bit, albeit they kind of brought those guys up and, you know, weren't they both Munchak disciples?
Yeah.
That he figured out how to utilize them. I would like to see something similar there where can you spend additional money? Why don't you pay $5 million for a backup swing tackle? You might need it depending on how Broderick Jones is going to do. You might need it for insurance for Troy Faltano after he was down with an injury all of last year.
Well, as of right now, their swing tackles are Dylan Cook and Calvin Anderson. And I'm not exactly sold on those two as far as, you know, long periods of time where they're going to have to play.
No.
But we'll see.
Or somebody to be able to help the run game as an extra tackle that could play a Zach Banner type of role.
Right.
I'd be okay spending $5 million on that. You have the money.
And they have $25 million to spend here yet. So
yeah,
I would imagine
plenty.
They're going to do it. They're trying to win now, and I give them credit for that. Let's go out to the phone line, see what people think so far before we get to the quarterback, which everyone wants to talk about. But, Steve, what do you want to talk about?
Here's Steve in Gibsonia.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's up?
What do you think about trading a couple picks for like Cooper Kupp for our number two wideout?
Cooper Kupp, I think they like him where he is out there. I think Seattle thinks he's going to be, you know, I think the days of the time for trading guys is over. I think if anything, they're going to sign a free agent who's out there who hasn't, you know, Amari Cooper still dangling around. I have no idea why. I thought he was, you know, a guy who could come in and play somewhere, but he hasn't got any sniffs, at least from what we've seen. Gabe Davis is another one. Or they could just take somebody off someone's roster as the preseason moves on. But I don't suspect at this point they're going to be making any kind of trades like that.
So, Olave, is that a question as well for the Saints?
What's that?
Olave, I think that's his name for the Saints.
Yeah, Chris Olave. I think it's too late for that. They have their roster where it is. I think those were names that came up at one point. And again, though, I will give you this. If they go through this preseason and they find that some of these guys are really struggling and they don't have a lot of insurance behind a DK Metcalf, they may do something of that nature. But I don't think it'll be a big name. But it could be somebody else other than what we see on this roster right now.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. All right, now we go to the quarterback. And then when we come back, we'll get into defense here because that's the area that they spend the most money in. But at quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, we went through this little drill here, talking about guys over 40, 41, 42. Now, there haven't been all that many who have done it well. Tom Brady would head the list on that. But you mentioned something interesting about Warren Moon, because Warren Moon did play effectively at age 41, not so much after that. He hung around for three more seasons. But he had a pretty good year that year, Warren Moon, didn't he, at age 41?
Warren Moon made the Pro Bowl in Seattle in 1997. Now, he did only have 25 touchdowns and 16 picks. 25 touchdowns is pretty good.
Yeah, 16 picks, not so much.
16 picks, not great. And they went 7-7 in Seattle. He played 15 games, and he started 14 of them. Before the next year in Seattle, 11-8 at 42, and then he was the backup in Kansas City for a couple years after that. But regardless, it is possible. Like, would you be okay with a season from Aaron Rodgers with 25 touchdowns? Now, the 16 picks, I think nobody would be happy about.
Yes, I think 25 touchdowns would be a really good season for someone, you know, given where he is in his career. But I think he's been better than that with, you know, even though last year he threw the ball around, had some picks, and he had him here in Pittsburgh. But typically, he is a good protector of the football. In fact, he had one of the best seasons ever in terms of the fewest amount of interceptions, and I think it was in 2018. I'm not sure. But if he stays away from those things, but I do want him to utilize the middle of the field. I do want him to utilize his big tight ends, and I know the Steelers have not been necessarily in agreement with that middle of the field philosophy, but that's a big part of it. If you have Metcalf going deep and taking two guys in his area, then you can create some stuff underneath and in the middle of the field.
Yeah, Rodgers is the best all time at quarterback rating and then also interception percentage.
Right, he does not throw the ball around, which is a good thing, and that's another reason why Mike Tomlin likes him, I'm
sure. But it's been the last two full seasons that he's played. 12 picks in Green Bay, 11 picks with the Jets.
Right. The two biggest totals have come later in his career.
How is he trending? Because, I mean, he's had years where he's thrown 2, 4, 5. Typically, he just throws 5 interceptions compared to 25 touchdowns at least.
All right, Vinny Testaverde, I want you to look him up because he played into his 40s. I have no idea how well or badly or good, if he had a good year, but he played. He got injured but came back from the injury and went on deep into his 30s, into his 40s. I don't know how long.
He played forever until 44.
And the bigger question was how effective was he?
So in 2007, he was a backup with Carolina. He played 7 games. He started 6, 5 touchdowns, 6 picks, wasn't good. At 41 in Dallas, he started 15 games, 17 touchdowns, but he led the league with 20 picks.
Okay.
So not good for Vinny Testaverde, no.
No.
Now, Vinny Testaverde is also not in the Hall of Fame. He's just a 2-time Pro Bowler. Him and Warren Moon was a really good quarterback. I still think that Aaron Rodgers should be put on a higher of a pedestal. Now, you can't just completely erase and scoff at the interceptions that he's thrown over the last 2 years. You just can't do that. Especially the Green Bay number is concerning. The Jets, that was just such a dysfunctional organization or dysfunctional system.
But he had a lot to do
system.
With dysfunction. You know, he created a lot of the problems by bringing in his own coordinator, by forcing trades for guys he wanted there.
He didn't force any trades outside of maybe George Pickens, and if that's the case, that might be for the better. And he's not bringing in any of his coordinators. Sure, he's familiar with Tom Arth. Sure, he's familiar a little bit with Arthur Smith. But this is not Aaron Rodgers, a hostile takeover of the Steelers.
No, but it's also Aaron Rodgers who has his wants, needs, likes when it comes to offense.
Right.
And it's going to this whole season may come down to not just the tackle and how those guys do in protecting him, but also his relationship with Arthur Smith. And Arthur Smith should defer to him. You know, when you get a guy of that, you know, 4-time NFL MVP, I would defer to what he likes to do, incorporate a lot of what he likes to do in my offensive game planning. So I think that's the thing that we're going to see more of, difference that we have over the last year with Arthur Smith.
Yeah, like I think you'd agree, you should not let Aaron Rodgers at 41 be in charge of personnel decisions. Maybe if he says, hey, I want like one wide receiver in here to help out a little bit, sure. But, I mean, he basically got full reign with the Jets, which, of course, an incompetent organization like the Jets have been for the last however many years that just wants to get relevant and wants to be good is going to cater to Aaron Rodgers. At this point, though, Rodgers is just showing up, trying to ball out, play one final year, and go out on a high note.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic had an interesting tweet on this. I think it was him talking about how many quarterbacks, 40 years old or older than that, have started more than 10 games in a season. And I think he concluded that there are only 6 have ever started double-digit games. And that's it. And Warren Moon's one of them. And that's that season you talked about where he was a Pro Bowler. But, the over and under numbers on how many games Aaron Rodgers will play is an interesting number. You know, 13.5 I saw. Would you go over or under that?
I'd go over. And I think one reason because of that also is he stayed healthy despite being sacked 40 times last year behind an awful offensive line. Like, you might think that the offensive line of the Steelers is needing significant improvement. It does. It's not what the Jets' offensive line is or was. Like, they don't have an all-pro center. They don't have Seumalo as a guard. Like, the Jets have some pieces, there's no doubt, but as a constructive unit, I'd say the Steelers' offensive line is better. Would you say the same?
I think their starters are, but again, I think the depth is an issue. I think anytime you go through an entire season, you're going to have to deal with depth. And their depth right now is, to me, very much a question mark. Because it's just not a lot of guys I've seen. And I think this is probably true of every team in the NFL.
Right.
There's only so much money you have to spend. And when you spend it on your starters, you don't have a lot for what's left over. So that's going to be interesting to see. When we come back, we're going to talk about the defense, which has also changed. A lot of new places or players in a lot of new places. Not just draft picks, but guys they've brought in via trade or free agent acquisition. We'll get into that. Hey, I want to remind you, 93.7 The Fan, 100.1 FM, and AM 1020 KDKA, along with WAMO 107.3, are partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the Pittsburgh PBS Backpack Drive. It's all presented by Target Freight Management. You can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping some off at a location near you, including Piata Italian Street Food in Robinson, also the Northway Mall. All of those places you can check out. And for more details, visit 937thefan.com and drop off your donation. Before we get to the defense, let's take a call here, Austin, as we just broke down the Steelers' offense, which is ranked 19th by ESPN. I think it's better than that. What do you think, Dan? You're up.
All right, here's Dan in Murrysville.
Thanks for taking the call, guys. You know, these guys are so athletic. You got Washington at tight end. Why he doesn't get reps at tackle, I'll never know. And then just to transition into defense along that same line, Joey Porter Jr. is sort of more like a free safety body than a corner body anyway. If you put him back at free safety, maybe he doesn't get so many pass interference calls.
Yeah, well, that's something. Thanks for the call. I think that's a good point. He has to make sure if he's over, he's not going to be, they're going to put a cornerback. That's what they draft him to do, but he's got to be less handsy.
Well, and the other issue about the two, Bob, is that Joey Porter Jr. can't really tackle that well. Like, he's gotten better, but tackling is still an issue for him. Like, he's a good cover corner. As long as his hands are off the receiver enough, tackling is still a work in progress.
They'll let you get away with a little bit of that hand stuff, but not as much as he was guilty of doing last year.
Well, his rookie year, he got away with a ton of it. But this past season, I don't know if it was wide receivers making a point to point it out to the officials or whatnot, it got called significantly more. And I feel like he was a little bit more handsy last year than he was his rookie year, but not by that much. It was just that it was being noticed a lot more.
All right, let's take a look at the defense now. It is still a base 3-4, although they don't do that as much as, you know, situational kind of management with some of these guys, and especially this year, I think. But up front, it always starts there. Last time we saw them, Austin, they gave up a ton of yards to Baltimore. Couldn't get the ball back at all. Couldn't make a stop. So the game ends with 10 minutes of possession time for the Ravens. And throughout the course of the season, they gave up a lot of rushing yards. That has to change because it does impact the outside linebackers. If you're running successfully, all of a sudden those outside linebackers are not going to have as many opportunities in down and distance situations. So they bring in Derek Harmon. The guy looks ready to go already. He's a big dude. They need help there. There's no question. Cam Hayward's up there in age. I still expect him to have a good year. Keanu Benton took, to me, a step back a little bit last year. Those three guys are your top three defensive line guys. I think it's an upgrade. I hope it's an upgrade, but it better be an upgrade.
Yeah, it better be an upgrade. I mean, they got pushed around by the Ravens, twice, Kansas City, Philadelphia toyed with them. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati especially beat him up and did enough to be able to beat them in the final game of the year too. Like, this is a defense. We talk about the defense is spending. Sure, everything's trending towards offense. But if you're going to spend that type of money on defense, you better have a damn good defense. And they better show up and show out and play well with the guy that is supposedly the one running it, and that Terrell Austin is just a figurehead for Mike Tomlin's defense.
Yeah, it's been too passive. They haven't done enough things. And this is another reason why I want to see them invest more in blitzing, more in disguise blitzing, things that you don't expect. It comes in handy. They did not do it nearly enough that I would have liked. But it starts up front with those guys. I think Derek Harmon's going to be a right step in, ready to go player and do well. I really do. The key to me is, can Cam Hayward post another season like he did a year later? And can Keanu Benton can take a step forward after taking a step back?
Unless I see otherwise from Cam, Bob, I think he's going to be able to perform. I mean, other than age, what makes you think otherwise? But age, injuries, obviously, but age for Cam, I mean, he's been better at 34, 35, right around 36 than he was at like 28.
Yeah, yes. He's had some of the best years of his career after he turned 30.
It's kind of odd, but he's just been able to figure out how to work his body into the position that it needs to be. And he's so good at – Cam is also a mountain of a man. Like, standing by him at celebrity softball, I mean, other than Darnell Washington, I don't know if I've seen just a bigger dude.
He's just thick. It's hard to deal with him. And they have to double-team him a lot of times just because he's that effective. Behind those three, this will be very important as well. We talk about depth all the time. Logan Lee is back. I don't know, what to expect from him. But they brought in Y.A. Black from Iowa. That dude is like a house – in the middle. If he can do anything similar to what Casey Hampton used to do when he's in there and just occupy people, I think that'll be a big year. Isaiah Loudermilk has disappointed me over the last several years. They moved up in the fifth round a few years ago to get him. He's had his moments, but not enough of them.
No, I would expect either Y.A. Black or is Lowry, Dean Lowry, still on the team?
Dean Lowry's still on the team, yeah, but he's you don't see him all that much in games.
No, I would expect those two guys.
How about
maybe
DeMarvin Leal? He's another guy we haven't talked about, but he's a guy that they had very high hopes for.
You know the problem with DeMarvin Leal, Bob? I completely forgot he was on the roster. That's the level of production that DeMarvin Leal has been able
and
to
put
out there.
You could almost say the same about Loudermilk. They need to make bigger statements, especially in the backup role. But Y.A. Black is going to be somebody interesting to watch as he wears the old Dwight White number at 78.
How many games was Leal even active for last year?
I don't know. Maybe they tried to put him to outside linebacker or move him on to just try to find areas where he could succeed, but he wasn't doing it.
Wrong. Five.
Five
is the answer, Joe.
Wow.
Wrong. Yeah.
All right, just linebackers. Five. Now, you know about, I think this is the strength of their team, obviously.
No doubt.
When you have Watt and Highsmith as your two edge rushers, followed by Nick Herbig, who's, I think he got a little exposed when he played a lot last year. He's good when he doesn't have to play a lot. When he comes in there and gives them, you know, kind of this excitement that he brings when he's in the game. And then Jack Sawyer will be someone we'll also be watching, but he has a big history at Ohio State, and he seems to be the perfect type of player for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Herbig was the type that I really wanted to see get an opportunity where I would have been okay trading Highsmith, but when Highsmith was ultimately out, you could just tell the value that Highsmith brings as a run defender. He needs to tune that up and also not go invisible like T.J. Watt at times during the season, too. Like, Highsmith should be a 13-14 sack a year type of player. Like, he is that talented to be able to do it. But there have been times where he has not been able to produce. And it was more so, I think, what, middle of the season? He was also banged up. So I want to see a good, successful bounce back year from him. But I think the two X factors for me this year, Bob, are Keanu Benton and JPJ. Like, we are not talking about Benton enough as somebody that needs to take a quality step and somebody that needs to become somebody who next year at this time we're discussing as, okay, should they try to extend Keanu Benton? Is he a worthy candidate to that? Because right now, over the last couple of years, there have not been a lot of guys where you say, all right, time for that second contract. It's been third contract for Watt, third contract for Cam. They did Minka a couple years ago. Alex Highsmith got a contract.
Yeah, but none of their guys they've brought in, you know, very few of them recently who have been draft picks get to that level, and that's important.
Now, Freiermuth got it, but Najee, Pickett in the first round, other just Joey Porter Jr. right now, unsuccessful picks that they've had, whether it be the first or second round, that have not been worthy. Broderick Jones, will we be discussing that a year from now? I doubt it. Hopefully the fifth-year option year will end up being the one where you say, okay, Broderick Jones is actually established now. And that's been a big reason.
Well, the outside guys will be complemented by the inside guys. I'm really looking forward to Peyton Wilson, who should be a starter this year. He's one of these guys who has, you know, fifth-round pick. They didn't expect all that much in terms of immediate contributions, but he got in there and made plays. Big interception in a game that was purely athletic, and he'll be complemented by Patrick Queen. Now, there is a return of Cole Holcomb. That was a really difficult injury he went through. And, you know, how effective he will be is something that is difficult to try to project. But if he does get some of that back, boy, he is a good tackle machine in the middle. They also brought in Malik Harrison from Baltimore. Again, just somebody to have in there. I don't expect him to be getting a lot of the playing time. He'll come in and spot some guys here and there. And then Mark Robinson, who's always around. Mark Robinson has been, he makes a couple of plays on special teams here and there, but I think, you know, he was a seventh-round pick, so it's hard to establish guys, seventh-round picks as starters or contributors on a regular basis, but he's a nice guy to have in the middle. They also brought in Mark Bruner's son, Carson Bruner, as a draft pick, so he'll be in the middle of that linebacking crew. That's, the to me, from outside to inside, their strength is linebackers, without a doubt. But the linebackers will be successful if the guys up front make it a little easier for them and they don't have to deal with rushes, you know, straight at them, giving up big yards, and then it limits what they do. If it's third and two, it's a lot different than third and seven. When you're third and seven, T.J. Watt can tee off on you and he'll find ways. I also expect them to move T.J. Watt around. They're not going to do the same thing they've done for all these years here, which is just put him over there and take on left tackles, and some of them he does well against even double teams. But I would imagine they're going to be a little bit more creative with T.J. Watt. And also, I would expect his snaps to go down a little bit. In other words, conserve him for as long as you can, knowing that If they do get to the postseason, they have to do much better, and he has to do much better.
And they've done things like limiting snap counts and rotating.
But
and
now they have guys who can do it.
Yeah.
I think if Sawyer comes in and proves he can handle it a little bit, you know, they have guys who can do that.
I'm excited for Sawyer, Bob. Like, I think it's kind of part of that whole you go younger, you go cheaper on defense. It's can Jack Sawyer, can Nick Herbig emerge, where if you decide that you do want to trade Highsmith at some point for, like, let's say next year, and I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but you're looking to try to acquire a quarterback. Don't you think trading Alex Highsmith for like a second-round pick can help acquire another pick to be able to help you move up and do
sure.
that?
Sure.
If Nick Herbig or Jack
exactly.
Sawyer can emerge?
If you have guys emerging, it's always a better situation for the franchise, no doubt about that.
So is definitely their best unit, because Sawyer and Herbig, they could be starters on other teams potentially. Now, we got to see it from Sawyer, but I think he's got the potential to be able to do that. Yeah, I'm excited for him.
All right, cornerbacks and safeties. This will be the interesting thing, of, to me, more than anything, just usage. Darius Slay is 34 years old. He did not come off a good season in Philadelphia, I thought, last year. They gave him a one-year deal, $10 million. I don't expect, you know, I don't know what I expect, but I don't expect eight interceptions, five interceptions, three interceptions. I expect him to be a veteran who can help. But Joey Porter Jr. is going to be the guy they're going to have to really get to reach that potential that I think he has. They have the secondary a little bit, I don't know. Deshaun Elliott and Juan Thornhill don't do a lot for me. And that's just being honest. I think Deshaun Elliott was a good signing. I do. But I also think that Thornhill has been injured. He hasn't had his best stuff. I think if there's a vulnerable area down the field, it's going to be in the middle, which may lead to Jalen Ramsey moving over there. Right now, he could be at, you know, kind of the inside guy there. We'll see how they line him up. But he's versatile enough to go deep if he has to.
So are you down on Elliott because Minka's gone, or do you think that a second year with Elliott maybe?
I just think he's better in the run game than he is covering down the field. I just think that teams may take shots at the middle of the field, whereas last year they didn't. And I think he could be vulnerable there. But Juan Thornhill does not, you know, I don't know about what you think about Juan Thornhill.
No, he does nothing for me.
He's listed as a starter right now. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, who else is going to play back there? Like, you're not moving JPJ there.
We haven't talked about Beanie Bishop. What happens to him?
Beanie Bishop has basically been phased out, it seems
what
like.
What about Corey Trice? Both of those guys, they were high on.
Corey Trice is a depth piece so that James Pierre doesn't see the field.
James Pierre still on the roster.
James Pierre
is
still here, yes.
They have an interesting guy in Dante Kent. He's a small guy. He's a really good return guy.
Yeah, could be a punt returner.
Yeah, and that's why a guy like Cordero Patterson could be on his way out.
Was Cordero even returning punts? It was Calvin Austin.
No, that's what I mean. If he can't do that, what's he going to do on your team?
And Calvin Austin
and
well.
You're not going to have a jet sweep once in a while or a little. I'll give him this. He's a big guy. And when he gets going, he's hard to tackle. But we haven't seen much of that on a regular basis.
Cordero?
Yes.
Yeah, that's because he's slow. He can't move anymore.
All right, now, real quick, I think it's going to be interesting to see if Corliss Waitman can beat out Cameron Johnston, who got injured last year early on. Waitman came in and did a very good job as the puncher. So that's going to be a very interesting thing to watch, and I'm going to be interested to see how they utilize those guys in the preseason.
Well, they paid Johnston, what, like $4 million a year, $3 million a year?
And he came in from Houston, I believe, and he was a really good player down there for them.
Yeah, so the punting competition will be a low-key battle that will take place. And didn't they also sign the kicker from Pitt?
Yeah, Ben Sauls.
Ben Sauls.
By the way, he has no shot of making this roster.
No, not over Boswell.
But he will get some opportunity to show his talent so someone else can maybe take him. But, you know, but he's a good guy to have. Why not?
Yeah,
I think. He did some really good things.
The Steelers probably did that at one because Ben Sauls is really good. And two, maybe as a favor to Pitt, like, this guy was absolutely booming the ball in our stadium. We might as well give him an opportunity in the preseason for him to get a chance with another NFL team. If, you know, a kicker gets hurt or somebody's ineffective, it happens. So I think Ben Sauls is going to stick around in the NFL. This is just his opening opportunity.
I agree. And he's got a strong leg, and you don't see many left-footed kickers do it either. So we'll see what he does in the preseason as well. The 11:50 is the time, 11:55 actually. So we'll tell you the 15-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Also, call now and win 4 tickets to the Pony League World Series at Lou Hayes Pony Field from August 8th until the 13th. As far as the weather, it's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny today, high of Heath Miller, 83, 89 degrees tomorrow, 91 on Thursday. Feel like over 100 degrees. If you're going to St. Vincent College, wear those big hats and bring plenty of sunscreen because it is going to be hot to start this training camp.